Okay, I'm originally from Virginia. I have spent most of my life trying to fit in. I just wanted to be liked, really. As a trans woman who was assigned male at birth, this wasn't always easy. But you know, I was pretty determined to make people think that they were right. And this was complicated by some pretty weird family dynamics. Like, I was the last Warren in my family assigned male at birth. And like that had happened so infrequently in the last 100 years that it was down to me. Like, I'm not even kidding. And my grandfather had 7 siblings. And it gets even more complicated because my like great 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 ancestor, Robert Warren, came to the eastern shore of Maryland around 1620. Like 15 generations later, I was left. But enough about genealogy, right? You get the picture. I remember I couldn't wait to start shaving. I was probably like 11, 10 or 11 when I did. I think I saw my first hair. I'm not sure I would classify it as a whisker, maybe 5 years later. But that didn't stop me. It made me feel like a man, or at least what I thought a man should feel like. And this was right when Happy Days was popular. So I was very focused on being cool. But my life also was kind of a show. I learned how to make people laugh, be cool and laugh. They'll never know deep down you feel like a girl. Oh, hell no, they'll never know. But there was nothing cooler than smoking cigarettes. And so that's what I adopted at a very, very early age. I forced myself to smoke them until it just became something that I loved. But then I realized I'd made a huge mistake. I was smoking menthol cigarettes. Not cool. So then I had to relearn how to smoke unmenthol cigarettes. And you know, at the age of 14, that's a big decision. But again, you know, it's the 70s, and I was determined that, like, I could do this, right? And it was at this time I determined what would really be best for me was to get away from my parents. So I decided I was going to go to an all-boys boarding school, like immersion therapy, I guess. And at this time, I would just go to sleep each night, just basically dreaming of being something else. This was also around 1979, and so Animal House had recently come out. I'd kind of shifted my role model from Arthur Fonzarelli to Bluto Blutarski. And being drunk in college was literally all I wanted to do. And so it became. And eventually, my first pass at college went very similar to it as it did in the movie. I think I lived in the frat house. I had, I think, a 0.3 GPA, and I started drinking beer every day. Fat, drunk, and stupid may be no way to go through life, but damn it, I was gonna try. I was determined. And I was like, well, of course, certainly if I'm like, you know, fun, I'm the life of the party, I play guitar, I can drink all night, someone will wanna marry me. Not that took a while. And so, like, this time I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is going on, right? Like, this is very strange. I'm trying to date. Did you ever hear the joke about what does a lesbian bring on a second date? A U-Haul? That was me. Hello. Like, if you went out with me once, I was like, oh, hi, yeah, hi, Jean. Would you like to go to the theater? I have dinner plans for us. It was just a huge nightmare. I would just fawn madly over these girls who would just be like, oh, get away. Because here's something else you should know about my family dynamics. On my mother's side, her great-grandfather had 11 children. Okay, okay. She died. He got remarried, had 11 more children. He had 22 children. So I'm the last one. I'm like, my family's like has like 30 kids. I'm like, I'm gonna have to like. So, I'm like, did the guy do anything but have sex? Seriously. So you know, I was very confused, but I did have people who loved me and cared about me and wanted me to succeed. And I had, and I have, some amazing friends to this day. And through these people, I was able to meet my soulmate, my wife. We fell in love, we're married, blessed with two beautiful daughters, whom I adore more than the stars in heaven. We had moved from Maryland to Virginia right before my second daughter was born. And so, you know, on paper, like, I had everything. But deep down inside, I just felt so incomplete and so phony, right? Like, just a phony baloney. And so at the age of 50, with the support of my wife and my kids, I transitioned to my true self. Thank you. But the crazy thing is, when I did, my desire to drink just went away. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, before, like, I had to drink every night. But after, it just went away. But even though all that was happening, I still didn't really feel like I fit in, right? I'd kind of gone from one extreme to the other. And so about a year after my transition, I needed a job. I'd been living off my severance for a while, and it was time to go finally get back to work. And so I got a job at a local Baltimore e-commerce agency. And it had a good reputation. I was super excited. But as the day to go back to work came closer and closer, I really began to question how I would be accepted or if I would be accepted. You know, I wasn't a Baltimore native. I'd only been in the area for a couple of years. And I really thought a lot about some of the people I'd worked with when I did present as a man. And, you know, there's some real assholes out there. And I was just like, oh, this could be really bad. Like, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen. I had no idea what to expect. But as I walked in that first day, you know, it was simply one of the best days of my life. Everyone was so nice and respectful and really generally seemed happy to have me there. It was a day that changed my life. And it was that day I knew what it meant to be Baltimore proud. Proud not of who you were, but of who you are. Thank you.